Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester, and with me, as always, Akiva Lineker. Akiva, how are you today?
I'm excited to, finally finish The Greatest Living American.
Yeah, and we're in the heart of your beloved Real March Madness, the NCAA tournament.
Well, we're almost over the heart of it, because obviously by far my favorite part is the first 32 games.
Yeah.
And then my second favorite part is the next 16. At least the next round is okay, because there's two games going at once. There's four games in a day. The Final Four is the worst part of March Madness, always.
Well, but usually the quality of basketball gets better because the teams get better as we move forward.
Yeah, the quality of basketball has been shockingly poor. So
yeah,
but not as bad as the referee. The drama's been amazing. Yeah,
yeah, and luckily, I don't think anybody really paid attention to Wisconsin's first round game, which was 46-42.
Yeah, nobody paid attention to it.
Yeah, probably the worst game of the tournament. All right, so why don't we start this week's podcast? We have to get back into our bets. We haven't made a bet in a while. I can give an update if you want.
Please do.
Status of our bets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so of course, the idea is that each week we would make a bet for $10. The first bet we made was a tie. You won the next one, then I won, so we broke even again. Then I won, and then you won, so we broke even again. Then we made a bet about which NBA teams would have the most second half wins. So that one's obviously not over yet. I'm winning by a handful, but you've tightened it up lately. Your biggest problem is you took Oklahoma City with your second overall pick, and they've been 500 since the All-Star break. Your second to last pick, the Milwaukee Bucks, has actually been better than 500 since the All-Star break. So Oklahoma City is really letting you down. But you know that one we still have to track. And then the bet we made the following week was over the Oscars, and that one we tied as well. So we've made a total of seven bets so far, and neither one of us owes the other one any money.
All right, and just to remind people that one of us has to owe the other person $100 for the bet to actually pay out. So we're not close to that right now.
Somebody has to go up by 10?
Someone has to go up by 10, yeah.
All right, yeah. So it's 2-2 with two ties.
Yes.
So I think it's going to take an incredible streak of luck to get somebody to pay out then in that case. So this week we have 16 teams left in the NCAA tourney, and I think that both of us made a power ranking of the 16 remaining teams. So tell me, what do you want the bet this week to be exactly?
I think we should, with the 16 teams left, I think we should just draft all 16 teams, and we're just looking for a champion. So whoever has the winning team wins the bet.
All right, who's going to get to pick first?
Do you want to flip a coin?
All right, I'm flipping a coin on Google. Call it in the air. I just Googled flip a coin. It's flipping. Quick, call it.
Tails.
It is heads.
Well, why does it matter how quick? As long as it doesn't matter.
Well, because I saw it. We did this last time when we flipped a coin on Google, where I'd already seen the result and you got it wrong, and then I let you pick again, even though, yeah, it didn't really matter. But I won, so I will decide. I will defer. I'll give you the first pick. I'll take the next two.
Okay.
And by the way, everybody should remember that they're talking to experts here, because we both picked Michigan State to win it all.
Yeah, I would say there's no two better people that we really have our fingers on the pulse.
Yeah, but that's why we get another chance.
All right, I'm going to pick North Carolina because they have an easier road than Kansas.
I like to look at the 538 odds for every single game.
Mm-hmm.
And North Carolina has the best odds according to 538. They have they're tied with Kansas for the most likely, the biggest favorite in the Sweet 16. But then they're the biggest favorite right now to make the Final Four and to make the semis. And then they're actually not the favorite to win the championship. But because they have an edge on the previous two rounds, they have a slight edge over Kansas in total wins. But Kansas is still the favorite, as they were going into the tournament to win it all. Michigan State was second at the time. Of course, they're gone. So I'll take Kansas with the number two pick. And actually now I'm realizing that going second, maybe I made the wrong mistake, because there's really two teams here and I could go with either one, and I'm really not sure. I guess I'll take Virginia just because their bracket is much more, wide open with Michigan State eliminated. They have the easiest route. Iowa State is, I think, a tough game, an underrated tough game. Iowa State has only beaten a couple of double digit seeds, and not that convincingly against Little Rock, for example. But the winner of that gets to play, another double digit seed in Gonzaga or Syracuse. So I think Virginia has the easiest route to the Final Four of all the top seeds remaining. So even though Virginia is not my pick, I will take Virginia with the number three.
And now, do I get four and five or just four?
Oh,
I never remember the rules.
I don't care. Sure. Take four and five.
Okay. So now what's interesting is I feel like two of the better teams are Maryland and Indiana, but they're playing such good teams that it's crazy to pick them. And it's a coin toss for me between Villanova and Miami. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma for sure. That was, I'm sure, yep. Your other. I mean, Oklahoma, yeah. I would have gone third with just because.
I mean, I had Oklahoma either winning it all or going to the championship game in every one of my brackets.
Yeah. I actually had Kentucky, winning in one of my brackets also.
I picked Virginia just because I think it's the better strategic pick right now.
Uh-huh.
So, all right, but you're going to take Oklahoma, obviously.
And then I'm going to pick Duke, which is a little out there, but I feel like Oregon's looked so bad. Probably the least respected one seed ever. Even when St. Joseph's was a one seed, I mean, they were undefeated, right? But they had more, or one loss, they had more respect. And Wichita State was a one seed and undefeated.
We talked about this last week a little bit, that Oregon, if they had been ranked a two or a three seed, I think more people would have picked them. Because they were a one seed over Michigan State, the hate went too far, and so they got so disrespected, as you said. Whereas, you know, they were the best team in the Pac-12. Now, of course, they're the only team left from the Pac-12 because, you know, that conference turned out to be garbage this year.
I mean, I just think Duke, like, they have one of the best players, maybe the best player left.
All right, so that leaves me with the next pick. And I'm definitely going to take Villanova. They have to play Kansas, which is obviously very difficult, but I think that they're the best remaining team. Yeah, I guess I'll take Oregon also, just because, you know, the highest seed remaining, and it makes the most sense.
So you took Villanova and Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take Iowa State, because if they beat Virginia, they're going to be favored in the next game.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take Miami, because they have one of the best coaches left.
All right, so I'm definitely going to pick Indiana. They got to get past UNC, but if they do... The winner of the Indiana-UNC game will be a heavy favorite. The two worst teams of the, you know, as I said, I made power rankings for the 16 remaining teams. Mm-hmm. And number 16 is Wisconsin. Number 15 is Notre Dame. So mm-hmm. The winner of UNC-Indiana gets to play the worst.
But they're in such a good spot. I mean, they have such a winnable game to make the Elite Eight.
Who?
Like, if Notre Dame wins and Indiana wins, that's a winnable Elite Eight game for Notre Dame. Have you noticed, by the way, the Thrifty 32 has taken over America this week?
Well, it took over Rob Cisternino. I noticed that. Has anybody else been using it?
I'm sure.
Should I search on Twitter right now?
I'm sure it's all anybody's been talking about.
Yeah. I'm actually going to search on Twitter right now. Searching Thrifty32.
The only mention is me. The only mention is Antonio Mazzara saying he called it the Few 32. And I said, that's cooler than the Thrifty 32.
Well, no, I got a couple. I got a Avery Skywalker said, where my Thrifty 32 at? Cody K said, it's the Thrifty 32 March Madness.
Oh, wow.
Cole Holiday said, there's no way that Wichita State makes it out of the Sweet 16. They'll have enough trouble in the Thrifty 32.
Oh, my God.
Now we're going back to 2014.
No, you're lying. I don't have any of this.
Matt Pike said,
you're
Ohio
lying.
State.
You're making this up. I'm reading
these tweets.
I've searched it, and there's nothing in here.
I don't know. I'm reading these tweets. Matt Pajek wrote, Ohio State won't even make it past the Thrifty 32. Their region is ridiculous. PC Officer 904 said, Brandon Davis's bracket round names, the Shaking 70, the Standard 68, the Thrifty 32. Wait, what? There's no 70. What is he talking about? All right. Alex Bodine tweeted at his friend Archer, Jace to say it's called the Thrifty 32. Now we're back to 2013.
Oh, man.
Then somebody complained about
this up. I don't see any of this. And I searched for Thrifty 32.
Matt Karp said Pitt fails to even make it to the Thrifty 32 this year, but A for effort. Nick Rolfs, I'm feeling it. Wichita will be in the they'll be in the Thrifty 32, and that's all that matters.
That's amazing.
Joel Leathersich.
All right, this Q's is enough. Nobody cares.
All right, yeah. Hold on. But now I'm back to 2012 and 2011. Cole King says, I hate that the Thrifty 32 is now considered the third round of the tournament. Hashtag first four is a joke. Well, Cole got his wish.
It's so strange. He must have searched something else for me.
Gabrielle Felknor said, why can't there be a Thrifty 32 before the Sweet 16? Well, she should listen to our podcast.
Oh, do you know what it did? It automatically made it into Thrift 32 for me.
Oh, yeah. There's no Thrift 32.
Yeah.
All right. So back to our picks. I'm going to take Indiana. And then with my second pick, I'm going to take the team that you've been hyping, especially last week. I'm going to take Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga clearly should not have been an 11 seed, even without their best player. They have the best front court in the country. And, you know, they were actually favored against Utah, 3 seed. And they were favored, obviously, in the first round. And now they're favored against Syracuse. It's kind of crazy that we have an 11 seed that has been favored in every game of the tournament so far.
That's bizarre, yeah.
And it's not impossible. If they blow out Syracuse and Iowa State beats Virginia, like 50-49, which would be a very Virginia-esque score.
No, they'll be the underdog. Gonzaga? No, they'll still be the underdog, yeah.
All right.
Slight. It'll be like 2.5 points or something.
Yeah, and by the way, Gonzaga, who Vegas has a slight favorite, 538 actually has him as a slight underdog to Syracuse.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take Notre Dame and Syracuse here.
Oh, so you really don't like Maryland?
No.
Notre Dame and Syracuse. All right, so then I'll take Maryland and Texas A&M, and I'll leave you Wisconsin.
All right, I'm stuck with Wisconsin. It's got literally the worst team left. No chance of winning.
Yeah.
And the least watchable team left.
Yeah, well, although they hit that crazy three to win the game, and then Frank the Tank went crazy. I win this week's bet if the winner of the tournament in 2 weeks is either Kansas, Virginia, Oregon, Villanova, Indiana, Maryland, Gonzaga, or Texas A&M. And you win if it's UNC, Oklahoma, Duke, Iowa State, Miami, Syracuse, Notre Dame, or Wisconsin. That's a pretty easy bet to follow. And we can't have a tie. We're guaranteed of a winner this week, so that's good.
Yes. Before we get into the greatest living Americans, a couple of weeks ago, Sports Illustrated came out with the 100 greatest moments in sports history. Would you do you want to workshop a few of these, and I'll tell you some of the moments, and you'll tell me if they belong in the top 100 or not?
Yeah, I saw this. Some of them aren't even moments, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, number 100, you have Boise State coming back to beat Adrian Peterson's Oklahoma Sooners in the Fiesta Bowl.
Was that the one where he proposes as soon as he gets into the end zone?
Yes.
With his girlfriend?
Now, I will say, it's the best ending to a game I've ever seen in my life. It's the most excited I've ever been for a
college football game.
For any game in any sport, it's the best ending for any game because
That's way too hot of a take.
No, I think anybody who watched that game, I don't usually watch the sort of irrelevant bowl games, but I happened to be watching that game because I was bored.
Well, I think I remember watching it. It was because of Boise State and because they had sort of got screwed, you know.
Yeah, but what you had was Adrian Peterson, who was like too good for college at that point, scoring a touchdown like every time he touched the ball. And Oklahoma goes up 35-14 in the fourth quarter. And then Boise State comes back with like three or four of the craziest trick plays you've ever seen in your life, including the one, like the insane lateral to win it.
Yeah.
And then they win it on a fake, you know, a two-pointer, misdirect two-pointer in overtime to win, I think, 42-41. And then the guy scores a touchdown, literally goes and proposes to his girlfriend.
It was in one swoop. He just runs, gets on his...
It was literally like in the same shot. Yeah.
Also saw that in college basketball in the conference tournament this year.
Oh yeah, who did it? The Northern Iowa.
I don't remember. It was on Deadspin, but somebody proposed to his girlfriend who was a cheerleader on the spot. Oh no, she wasn't a cheerleader. The cheerleader was Boise State.
So I remember turning to my wife afterwards and saying that there's almost no reason to watch sports anymore because that's the greatest thing I'll ever see, and I still believe that. There'd still be nothing like go watch that game on YouTube now tonight.
All right, so you think 100 is way too low then?
No, it's fine as long as it's in there because it wasn't ultimately an important sports moment. Like, it was an irrelevant game. It was the equivalent of a regular season game. They have Kerry Strug at 92.
With her perfect 10 on her broken leg. And
yeah, that's kind of cool. And they have the Music City Miracle at 93.
That seems low for the Music City Miracle, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm now...
Especially the postscript being that the Titans end up going all the way to the Super Bowl and getting within a yard of winning the Super Bowl.
Sure, or tying the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, they have Canada winning the amazing overtime game in the... In the second to last Winter Olympics, which is probably one of the great sports moments in the history of Canada.
It was also on Purim Day.
Yeah, I know. My mom was furious that we were all downstairs watching the game. And she really was pretty good about sports her whole life. But I just remember being so mad that day that we were ignoring it. She was like, you guys are rabbis and you're this and you're watching hockey. Anyway.
How many rabbis are in your family? Just your dad?
Oh, no. My sister's brother's a rabbi, too. I don't know if he doesn't follow sports. I'm not sure if he was downstairs. But he's a rabbi. Number 90 might not have ever happened. It's Babe Ruth calling a shot to hit a home run.
Yeah, did not happen.
It didn't happen. So it's like they have myths.
Yeah.
Number 83 is 9/11. No, it's
can't say that on your other podcast.
Well, no, you have to cut that.
No, that stays in.
No, you're cutting that.
No, if you're a 9/11 truther,
say
it proud.
No. Number 73 is the UConn women winning 90 in a row, which there's no moment there because the more exciting moment is the 91st game when they lost, I believe, to Stanford. The problem is I can't click on any of these. Like everything you go to on their website now opens up garbage video.
Very annoying.
Very annoying.
ESPN at least has the option on ESPN.com to turn the videos off.
Yes. Yeah. SI has really gone over the top of it.
Nobody wants videos. You know the only thing worse than videos is when you go to like restaurant websites or like bar websites where they automatically start
really
playing crappy
music.
Yeah,
what do they care?
Or hotels sometimes have that. That's like terrible.
Number 67 is probably the most recent moment on the list. It's Carly Lloyd scoring the hat trick in the first half. And it happens to be that goal. I think people will forget with time how insane that goal was. Like it was an amazing goal just for a regular season game, but it happened in the World Cup final.
From midfield?
Yeah.
The hat trick one, yeah.
Yeah, so that's fair. The 64, they have Vinatieri kicking the field goal against the Rams to win the first Super Bowl. And again, that moment in and of itself is definitely not in the top 1,000. But the fact that they beat the Rams, you could make a case, should be in the top 100.
This is the top moments of what?
In sports history.
All of sports history.
All of sports history.
American sports history.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to have like some F1 racer. So that,
yeah. I'm saying if they made this edition in any other country, there's nothing from the Super Bowl. You know, there's a bunch of football.
Of course not. Yeah, maybe you get one Super Bowl thing if you're lucky. 53, the kick six, Auburn versus Alabama.
Okay.
50, they have the dream team. That's not really like a moment.
Where's the interception from the Patriots Seahawks Super Bowl?
Well, I haven't gotten to it yet. So who
where's Kirby Puckett's game six home run?
Listen, if we get there, 44 is taking a stand, which is the Mexico City, the raising the black gloved right fists. A lot of these are black and white. Nothing good ever happened before there was color. 40 is magic coming back to the All-Star game.
When I was a really little kid, when I was like 3 or 4,
yeah,
or 5 or whatever age I was, I thought that like the world, this is almost like in that movie Pleasantville, I thought the world used to be
sure,
black and
I think
white
we all did when we were really young. How old were you when you thought this?
I don't know, but the point is I took it one step further. I thought that was the cause of racism historically because it was sort of more stark.
So you were either like smart, you were like operating on a higher level, but you were sort of like either dumber or less informed than most of us.
Well, but here's the thing, like that, and anybody who thinks that as a kid, like what about art? What about paintings? You've been to museums and seen paintings that are more than 40 years old.
Oh, I'm sure there are many things where your logic doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
Number
you can read a book that's more than 40 years old that references colors. Yeah.
Number 36 is Touch 'Em All, Joe Carter's home run. Do you remember where you were in 1993 for Carter's walk-off World Series home run? Were you watching the game?
No.
I was with Akiva's childhood correspondent, Andrew, my old friend Andrew, who's still my friend. We watched that game in my house in Hewlett, staying up late, and we watched him. He was sleeping over, and we watched that home run, and we were going crazy.
By the way, Joe Carter suffers just about more than any other player from sort of advanced stats now. He was like a negative war player in lots of seasons because he batted like .250 and hit 25 home runs. No on base percentage.
Yeah. Yeah. The 34, they have the Vince Young coming back to beat USC. Still pretty crazy. Kind of amazing that Vince Young's been out of the NFL for so long. Such a
dynamic
player.
In conversation for the greatest college football game of all time.
Yeah, that's amazing. 33, they have Dwight Clark's The Catch.
Hold on. Was the Bush Leinart push, was that in that same game as well?
No, same season, I think.
Okay.
Or maybe the season before. 29, they have The Play. That's Cal Stanford. The band runs onto the field.
That should be higher, I think.
Sure. 31, they have Douglas Stuns Tyson, which is a cool moment, but no one saw it. It was like a minor fight for Mike Tyson in the middle of the night in Japan that was on pay-per-view. I'm not even sure it was on pay-per-view. So it was a cool moment, but I also I argue about the Lance Armstrong stuff because literally no one saw 1 second of his, I think it was called OLN then, Outside Line. Now it's like NBC Sports, but it was OLN then. At some point it became Versus Channel. No one saw 1 second of any seven of Lance, even if they weren't tainted. Lance Armstrong's Tour de France is what nobody cared about. 28 is Santonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone beating the Arizona Cardinals.
That's way too high.
Yeah, that was a garbage game, that's as ridiculous. We've discussed before.
I don't know if that's the 28th best Super Bowl play.
Yeah, yeah. 24 is Brandi Chastain scoring and ripping off her shirt to beat China in the penalty kicks. That was a pretty iconic moment at the time.
Yeah.
You asked where the Malcolm Butler interception was. That's at number 25. That's pretty high, but I think it's the highest variance play in Super Bowl history, right? So that's actually a pretty big deal. 22 is Lou Gehrig's luckiest man on the face of the earth speech. I guess that's a moment. I don't have a problem with that. 20 is Don Larson's perfect game. I feel like a perfect game in the World Series now wouldn't be a big deal. So maybe it was then.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's not such a big deal.
Like Roy Halladay threw a perfect game in the playoffs, right? And it was like totally irrelevant. No one cared.
It's like, oh, wow, that's impressive. Moving on.
Tyree's catch is number 19.
In fact, I would say more significant than any perfect game was the guy in the Tigers. What's his name? Andres, you know, the guy who had the non-perfect game because the umpire called the guy safe at first.
Oh, yeah. Armando Galarraga.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh, I said Andres because I had Galarraga in my head. Uh-huh. That was more memorable than any perfect game.
Oh, much more. It's like we talk about the agony of defeat, much stronger than the thrill of victory. You'll see if the Vikings ever win or the Twins ever win. It's not nearly as fun as whining about when they could have won. By the way, I mean, it's sad. Like, people are like, oh, maybe he'll come back and throw another no-hitter. But Galarraga
was out of the majors
2012,
within a year.
Like, very sad. Yeah. I mean, he handled it very classily, but it didn't do him much good. I don't know what he's doing now. Number 16 is Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points. Again, I have no problem with that being high on the list, but literally nobody saw it. It wasn't on TV.
The only thing anybody's ever seen is the picture of him holding the piece of paper.
Right, there's no video of it. Yeah. And no, Bobby Thompson's home run's 15th, Rumble in the Jungle's 14th. Christian Laettner hitting the shot against Kentucky's 11. I watched that live. One of my first real great sporting memories at my grandfather's house in Kewarden Hills in 1991. Jordan against the Jazz is number 12. That, you know, you watch that game again on YouTube. It's unbelievable. You forget how crazy that last play is. 7:15. We weren't there, so we're not sure. But I have no problem with the big baseball milestones being high. So that's number 10. You're going to hate number 9, even though it was a very important moment, but it wasn't the greatest moment. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
The Jets beating the Colts 16-7 in Super Bowl III.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's number 9.
And that's not even a moment. That was just that was a result of a game.
Right. That probably was made sense. Like,
it was a very boring game.
The Jets, a good defensive team, beat a team's backup quarterback.
Yeah, basically.
Tiger's first Masters, number 7. It's hard to overstate now how big of a deal that was.
I remember, yeah.
Number 6 is Michael Phelps getting 8 gold medals. I guess the really, you know, crazy one is the only problem is it ends with him not in the pool. It ends with Lizak beating the other guy at the end. But it was really, that's if you want to get fired up for the Olympics or something, watch that on YouTube. It's one of the coolest sports moments ever. And the swimming announcers are unbelievable. Our swimming announcers are Rowdy Gaines.
And Phelps was also more into it than just about any player you see on the sideline.
Oh, yeah. Phelps was going
nuts. He was like bursting. You know, if we found out that he had steroids right after that, I think it would have made perfect sense.
Well, I mean, whoever Ray Lewis knows, he knows because they're best friends. No, I'm just kidding. Thriller Manila, number 5. Okay. Now, that's like the last color one, basically, we have. Because... the greatest game, that's the championship game, I believe. I'm doing this all from rote because it just has like the three words. I think it's Giants-Colts
1958. Yeah.
Okay. That, you know, that gets a lot
that's dumb.
Yeah,
it gets credit for bringing the NFL into like the modern era, but no, that's ridiculous.
Jesse Owens.
You know, it, they wanted out the 1 yard. I think Unitas handed it off to, was it Amici?
Yeah.
Or somebody.
Yeah, Pat Summerall was the kicker.
for the Giants.
Yes, for the Giants.
But the Giants lost that game.
Yes. Number 3, Jesse Owens running past Hitler.
All right, that's easy. Everybody hates Hitler.
Number 2, Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. Now, if you're going to put that on the list, I feel like it has to be number 1, guys.
Yeah, what's number 1 then?
Number 1 is the Miracle on Ice.
By the way, we'll see you tomorrow night. Is Curry Puckett's Game 6 home run really not on this list?
I don't believe it's on the list.
All right, the whole list isn't valid.
I'm going to scroll up again, but I don't believe. Listen, if Joe Carter, obviously the Joe Carter has to be way ahead of it, right? And Joe Carter's 36.
No, I completely disagree.
Oh, my God. I'm going to get some dumb
shark.
That's
an insane argument.
Oh, by the way, Ripken's Ironman record's 51. That's going to be ahead
first
of it.
First of all, the 1991 World Series, and again, this is not a Homer Twins fan. Like, this is when ESPN ranked all the World Series. The 1991 World Series is by most people, considered the greatest World Series
of
all time.
Sure, yeah, and it was amazing. What's the moment? Okay.
The moment is Game 6 in the 12th inning, Curry Puckett hitting a walk-off, Jack Buck saying, we'll see you tomorrow night. Also, Curry Puckett having stolen a home run in like the 4th inning from Lonnie Smith, or the 6th inning, whatever it was.
Uh-huh. You know, yeah, Fisk is considered more iconic. They have that at 75.
Fisk is iconic because the camera caught him there, right? Kirk Gibson, by the way, which is a very overrated moment. Just
by the way, the
Kirk
longest Gibson, yard, which is the Titans-Rams, which we discussed, is 83. So how about the Titans getting 2 in one season?
Kirk Gibson is an overrated moment, frankly, I think. And also, the basketball version of that, which is Willis Reed. Willis Reed scored 4 points in that game. They won that game because Walt Frazier had like 35 and 17 or something.
Yeah, I don't believe that's on the list, though. Yeah, Pete Rose breaking the record at 87. That's kind of strange. Who cares?
Yeah, are any of the Vikings epic collapses? You know, the Gary Anderson game?
No, that's not there. Again, there's not an iconic moment. If you were saying greatest games... That would be the greatest upsets, of course, it would be there.
Well, I mean, the iconic moment is, you know, well, look.
Is Gary Anderson missing a field goal up by 7 to go up 10? Not that iconic, ultimately.
Well, but if you say Gary Anderson game, every football fan knows.
Sure, yeah. But you want any sports fan here. You want
the
Gary Anderson game.
The Brett Favre interception at the end of the 12 men on the field. That's an iconic play, I think. Right. But again, that doesn't decide it because
it's Sports Illustrated, the golf is way overrepresented. So there's like a Watson Nicholas match and there's a lot of things that nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They forgot that people only cared about golf because of Tiger Woods.
Yeah, basically. All right. That was a good 10 minutes.
All right. So not a bad list. All right. So let's get to the real issue at hand. People are waiting with bated breath for us to be finished with it, probably.
Yeah. All right. So we have 4 people left in the greatest living Americans. It's the final 4. These are the 4 greatest Americans, or at least these are the guys who advanced in the bracket. On the left side of the bracket, we have Bill Gates against Barack Obama. One of our followers who hates Gates and Zuckerberg, he said it's because they weren't really good programmers. And again, this isn't the greatest programmers list, just like it's not the greatest
president's
list.
Right?
It's not the greatest boxers list. it's the greatest overall. So Bill Gates might not have been the best programmer, you know, but there's more to it. There's business savvy. You know, like what Zuckerberg says, you know, if you would have invented Facebook, you would have invented Facebook. You know, it, maybe Zuckerberg stole the idea, but, you know, but he's the one who knew how to apply it. But by the way, have I told you my Winklevoss story? So look, I'm, you know, as people who ever send me an email know, I respond to every email I get, and I hate people who don't respond to emails.
Every email. I respond to every email. If I see the email right away, I'll respond immediately 100% of the time. It's a good, it's like good Musser for people. It's good advice.
In the summer of 2004, this is when Facebook was beginning to expand to a number of campuses, but it was still limited to campuses, and it was still, you know, I think it was on like 40 campuses or something like that. So it wasn't just in the Ivy League anymore.
We didn't have it yet at Yeshiva. We got it probably like 100th or something.
You guys got it towards the end of the summer in like August, yeah, I remember. Yeah. But my wife.
You remember because like Shmaria probably had 1,000 groups up the first day.
Oh, the first thing that Shmaria did, when he joined Facebook is, this, if you remember.
Is this going to be homophobic or extremely homophobic? Hold on.
No. Okay. So your wall back in Facebook used to be sort of like a chalkboard. The entire wall, anybody could edit it.
Sure.
And the etiquette was that you.
Wait, you could edit someone else's wall? I don't remember this.
Yeah, well, so because it changed very quickly thereafter. Everybody had a wall on their page, and their wall was essentially like a chalkboard. And you go add a comment to their chalkboard. You just go write it. But you can edit the whole thing, right?
But most of Facebook was groups by that first few months, right? It was like,
yeah.
I like fish sticks, tomato sauce.
Yeah. So, but the etiquette of the wall was that you go on someone's wall and you just add a line on top, and you'd hit return twice so that everything else went lower down.
Oh, my God. You're probably the only person who knew that in the whole world.
No, this is how everybody used the wall. So okay. Why you joined?
Do you remember
Facebook?
When some people called it the Facebook for like the first year? That was annoying.
Well, it was called the Facebook.
The website was called the Facebook, but people called it that like for way too long. Anyway,
On. So Shmaria joins Facebook.
Shmaria's our wacky friend, by the way.
Yeah, the first thing he does is he goes onto my wall, control all,
by the way, it's
and
funny,
writes his own stupid thing.
People should...
And he deleted my entire wall.
Oh, that's really
And
annoying.
So I lost all my wall history, because then, shortly thereafter, when they converted everybody's wall to like each individual post being separate, they you know, because they went back and they could see the time in the editor for each item, and so they made all those individual items, and now I have no items before Shmaria because he deleted my whole wall.
Yeah. It's funny, we had the same experience because we didn't know each other, but we had the same friend who was doing... When we were studying abroad, one time they said they were going to paint our walls. So he realized like, oh, we have a few days where we could just spray paint and write insane stuff on our walls because the painters were coming like the next week to paint the walls.
Anyway, yeah.
So he wrote like some interesting stuff. I won't. You know, he's in a position of great importance right now. I won't throw him under the bus, but it's a different Shmaria if anyone's listening.
This is Shmaria Blasner, by
yes,
the way.
Yes,
Blasner.
And this like very proper Canadian's kid came, and his father was British, so he's like British and Canadian. He's very like proper. This guy, this guy's dad comes to the school for the first time. He walks into the dorm room, and he sees the wall, and let's just say it was something offensive, and he just says to himself, "Why? I don't know why that's anyone's business." It was very funny. We had the very same experience, but from the other side, because we didn't know each other. I didn't know of each other even, but we had, you know, we had some of the same.
I visited your school. I slept over in Shmaria's room.
Yeah, but there was 120 guys there. I wouldn't have necessarily. I mean, I'm sure I met you, but I wouldn't have necessarily known you. Anyway.
So that summer. So as I was saying, you guys weren't on Facebook yet. Michigan had just joined because my now wife.
Are you at Michigan or at Penn then?
I was at Penn, but my now wife, who I just met that summer, was at Michigan, and she had just joined Facebook. But, you know, we were on an internship program together, and a lot of the kids from the other schools didn't yet have it because it wasn't there yet. Anyways, so I get an email from some guy, and I have no idea who he is, and I only know the name because afterwards who he became, from some guy named Tyler Winklevoss, and it doesn't mean anything to me, and it's an invitation to join some social network. And I don't know exactly what – and I'm sure what he just did is he just went on to, you know – a list of everybody at Penn and, you know, at other sort of comparable schools and just send invitations to everybody. I'm sure he sent this to hundreds or thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I get the email and I look at it. I'm like, oh, what's this? And I click it and it looks sort of like Facebook to me. So I reply to the person, not knowing if it's a person, if it's a machine, if it's automated. And I just said, hey, this kind of looks like the Facebook. What's the difference? And if the form invitation was like a form email that he sent to 1,000 people, the reply I got was highly personal. Because this fellow, Tyler Winklevoss, responds with several paragraphs ranting, cursing, all caps, like misspellings, complaining
at you or just about Facebook?
No, not about at me. He says, well, the Facebook is actually an idea. The guy who founded it stole it from our idea. He was working for our company first, and then he stole it. And he's just like ranting. And he said, you should really join our network because it's going to be much better than the Facebook. I promise you. And it's still also waiting. A matter of principle and honor. And like he's going.
But you don't still have this email, right?
Yeah, so the unfortunate part is, yeah, so then a few years later, I think around the time the movie The Social Network came out, I was like, holy shit, let me find that email. But the problem is that this is before Gmail, right?
Yes. I would pay $20,000 to get all my old AOL emails back.
Yeah, so this was on my UPenn email. It was, you know, it was my college email. But yeah, similar issue. So it would be a funny email to read now. And I feel like I could have entered that into evidence as part of the litigation between Winklevoss and Zuckerberg. Because it's just – but anyways, so the point is that I get this response from this guy. And so my response to him – and it was kind of mean, I guess. I said, I appreciate the response and no offense. But if you have enough time to type this whole complaint to me – then you're probably not competing with Facebook because I feel like the guy who created Facebook doesn't have time to send personal emails like this.
Which is funny, but if you had emailed Zuckerberg and said this is what he's doing, you might have actually gotten a response.
No, Zuckerberg was way too busy. He was expanding Facebook from 100,000 people to 100 million people summer.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So back to the match. We have Bill Gates against Barack Obama. I posted, by the way, on Thursday, I posted another Twitter poll like I did last week. I guess a lot of people aren't paying attention to Twitter polls about the greatest
American. Yeah, I think people have been off of Twitter. I just think maybe it was down for a few days.
Oh, well, no. I was just saying, I don't think people are interested in voting on this when the actual March Madness was going on.
No.
Because I got
or even when it's not on.
Well, but last week I got, you know, like 10, 11, 12 votes for all my polls.
Okay.
This week I did one poll and I got 5 votes.
Okay.
So anyway, so how are you voting between Bill Gates and Barack Obama?
Here's how I break it down. Barack Obama is an iconic American, but ultimately he's just another guy. I don't know how much he'll be remembered in, you know, Malaysia, in Ecuador, in, you know, Paraguay, and in the Congo, Democratic Republic and otherwise, and the Ukraine. To me, Bill Gates is not just an iconic American. One of the main things we try and do in this world, except for someone like me, is try and make as much money as possible. Bill Gates has done that successfully. He has the most money anybody's ever had. And he's taken that and he's done for good. You know, he's focused on charities and giving away all his money. So to me, he's sort of like the guy with the most money tries to do the most good. I don't know how you could beat that. And how will he, you know, maybe Microsoft doesn't exist in 50 years, so his company won't be remembered. But I feel like, you know, he will have a bigger impact on the world. Like, what's Obama going to do after he retires? Like, maybe he'll do something really incredible, or maybe he'll chill for a few years and, you know, just write books and give speeches. You know, is Bill Clinton's impact? He's done a lot of good things, and every time there's a big sort of charity thing, he comes through, and the first George Bush does. But, you know, ultimately, to me, and that's like more figurehead stuff, to me, I think you have to vote Gates.
It's funny because my argument for Obama is going to be for the exact same reason. And I was going to say zero, like if Bill Gates's name recognition in Malaysia is 0%. Nobody's ever heard of Bill
Gates.
You
don't think, so you're maybe underestimating Malaysians because you don't think they've ever said like, who's the richest person in the world in Malaysia?
Yeah. And they'll say, I don't know, some Jew. That's what they'll probably say.
Is that what you're voting
no,
for?
Hold on. Let me revise. Yeah. They'll say, because my brother's in China right now.
Okay.
Ask
him if Bill Gates is a big deal there.
Well, I can tell you, he's been telling me everybody in China thinks that Trump is the richest American, and that's why he's running, because the richest American, because especially in China where it's sort of communist, like, well, that's what happens in capitalism. Whoever's the richest gets to be president.
Sure. Like even in Italy, Silvio Berlusconi was the richest guy, and he was prime minister for a while.
Yeah, but of course, Trump isn't even, you know, one of the 100 richest Americans.
No, obviously. He might not even be one of the 1,000.
Yeah. But that's the perception. Donald Trump has a much bigger name recognition than Bill Gates does.
Yes.
You know, to me, the answer is that Bill Gates, you know, he is leaving a very important philanthropic legacy, and he left a very important, you know, computer business technological legacy, you know, even if sort of it was passed by Apple, at least in pop culture and popularity. Certainly, you know, Microsoft still dominates the market share for PCs. Even if Apple has music and a bunch of other stuff and tablets and smartphones, et cetera. But to me, again, the only American alive today who will definitely be in the history books will be Obama. Like when people talk about American presidents, one day it'll be like they'll say Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt, Obama is pretty much what they're going to say.
Obama, Trump. And not,
yeah. And not not because of anything related to policy. You know, frankly, look at JFK. JFK, in terms of policy, he didn't even have enough time to make a lot of policy. But the reason that he's one of the most famous and beloved presidents and he has tons of things named after him and he's on money is because of what he represented. And in that case, it wasn't even that he was an African-American overcoming, you know, the historical racism and slavery and everything in this country. It was just that he was sort of young, good looking and Catholic, I guess, mattered a little bit. So I just think that the legacy that Obama, what he represents, not because of anything he's done necessarily, but simply because of who he is why I think he should move on. But again, I don't want it to be that the winner of this is the president because that's kind of annoying. But I think that it should be Obama for that reason. Even if Bill Gates might make a better positive influence on the world, but you know, Obama's seen, you know, around the world as, you know, as an image of America in all that America is good and sort of hope and potential. You know, people see Obama as a representative of what America can do the way that other countries can't, that a guy like him can become president, you know, which you would never see I don't think you'd ever see a black prime minister of England, for example. So that's my argument.
I hear you.
You're right. Look, Obama can't match Gates' influence. I mean, obviously he's had a bigger influence in terms of as what he's done for president the last 8 years. But ultimately, for the next 30 years of his life, you know, he doesn't have $40 billion I don't know how much does Gates have now, like $65 billion?
Something very close to that, yeah.
Yeah, so what do we do when we disagree here?
I mean, we basically fight to... do you want to move on, see if we could agree on the next one?
All right, so let's move on to the other side of the bracket.
Because maybe we'll also say whoever wins. Do you agree that whoever wins this matchup is going to win the whole thing?
Heavy favorite. Heavy okay. Favorite.
Can we say that whoever wins this matchup automatically loses to whoever we pick between Obama and Gates?
Oh, whoever wins the Ali-Zuckerberg matchup?
Yeah. Is the automatic loser?
Yes.
So now yes, we're basically going back for the... So let's skip to Ali-Zuckerberg, and then we'll go back to the champion.
All right, so Ali-Zuckerberg... All right, so who goes first this time, you or me?
You go first.
All right, so Ali also is a symbol in the way Obama is, you know, Ali Boumaye. Nobody knows the name Zuckerberg, I don't think, around the world the way they know Ali. But ultimately, what was Ali? He was an athlete. He was charismatic. You know, again, he stood up for his principles vis-a-vis Vietnam. But, and again, it might just be a generational thing. I don't really understand why he is as big a symbol as he is. Zuckerberg... The name isn't necessarily big, but what he created, Facebook, has revolutionized the world and continues to revolutionize the world in a way much more dramatic than anything that anybody else did. It's literally led to, you know, revolutions around the world, things like that. The reason I think Zuckerberg would lose to Gates is because everything Gates has done beyond Microsoft. Zuckerberg has sort of tried, you know, he promised like $100 million to schools in Newark, New Jersey, for example. And Zuckerberg's a young guy. Zuckerberg has 50 years to move further up this list. But he hasn't really... You know, he's dipped a toe into the idea of philanthropy, but I don't really know if he's made a big influence now. So I actually don't really know. I'm going to lean whichever way you lean in this one, because I think it's probably Zuckerberg over Ali, but I don't have a strong opinion.
Do you identify with Zuckerberg as you're like both nerdy Jews with doctor wives?
No.
I just wanted to call you a nerd.
That's okay.
I think I'm going to say I don't feel incredibly strongly. I do think it's very close. I'm sure people could make a compelling case for Muhammad Ali, but to me, he's not generally even listed as number one an athlete. That would be Michael Jordan. So if you're not the number one athlete and Jordan's gone, I don't know how he can win, and therefore I have to pick Zuckerberg. My hesitation with Zuckerberg and the reason why he has to lose the finals is, and I'll say whoever loses the Gates-Obama matchup beats Ali in the third place game.
For sure. Yeah.
What if Facebook gets... The need for Facebook is obviated by the next great social network or some super internet that comes along in 20 years.
Yeah, but again, but Zuckerberg also has the potential to have influence beyond Facebook, right?
Of course.
He hasn't done it. He's very young.
And you'd think, knowing what you know, like I feel like CEOs have finite amount of times. And even though he might be in charge, I could see him in 5 years from now, especially if he has like more kids or whatever, I could see him in 5 years from now stepping down as CEO for sure.
Yeah, I think the difference between a Zuckerberg versus like an Elon Musk or even a Steve Jobs is that they invented thing after thing after thing,
right?
One after another.
Yes.
They were geniuses, whereas Zuckerberg, I'm not denigrating, you know, his smarts, obviously,
but they've made incredible business.
It was right place, right time.
They've made incredible, you know, they bought Instagram for free, basically.
Well, yeah, there's a way, again, there's a way that of all the, so there's a reason that Facebook is Facebook and MySpace and everything else isn't, for sure. But, so I'll agree with you. I'll vote Zuckerberg over Ali. I think it's very close. But again, either one of these guys would lose. Either one of these guys is lucky to be in the championship game where they're going to get their clock cleaned. The question is, who's going to clean it? Is it Obama or is it Gates?
Yeah, kind of a shock, upset, like Butler-style run for Mark Zuckerberg to the finals. He was in the court, the, you know, the eighth with Al Gore, or the quadrant with Al Gore.
Yeah, well, and actually, I'm looking. He played Elon Musk in the first round, and we had him beating Musk 2-0. Even though, as I just said, I think actually Zuckerberg is the bigger genius, or Musk is the bigger genius. Then he played Bloomberg in the next round. He won 2-0 again, although I think that one's very close. But then his matchups got easier. He played Madonna in the Sweet 16 and Al Gore in the Elite Eight. So his matchups got easier each round, actually.
I'm trying to think of like things where Obama and Gates have come together. There's an article, Bill Gates saying, "I wish Obama had more power." Not something you hear from a lot of Republicans.
Yeah. Well, Gates is clearly left of center, but he also tries very hard to present himself as nonpartisan because he's trying to, you know, be beyond that.
Sure.
Vis-a-vis his charitable.
Republicans buy, you know, PCs also.
Yeah, but his charitable focus is on poverty and starvation and global warming, and, you know, not necessarily he's not focusing on making America great again, to quote Donald Trump.
To me, the book on Gates is mostly written. Of course, he could do amazing things, but I'm fine if this is Gates' ultimate legacy. The reason why I want to stick with Bill Gates, and I think you really should, is ultimately Obama might end up being in the rankings like the 18th or 22nd, you know, best president of all time. Isn't it weird that we're naming as the greatest living American just a slightly above average or average president?
Well, but nobody ever said that we're living in the greatest era for great Americans.
I know, but
right?
This is a young country. It's young, scrappy, and hungry. And
yeah. But again, but hold on. But as I was saying before, like, it's not who's the best at their given field. If we were to rank all the presidents.
Yes.
Let me put it this way. If we were to rank who's the greatest American alive or dead, Obama would be higher on that list than he would be on a list of ranking the presidents in terms of how good they were as a president. Because, again, I think it's not
I think the founding fathers will have to go in front of him.
Well, that's part of what I'm saying. Yeah, but
Al
they
Toon.
Do. Wayne Corbett?
No, don't go crazy.
Oh, just Al Toon. Yeah, I mean, you'd have a couple founding fathers, and you'd have Lincoln and FDR, and I don't know, maybe TR, but, you know, that's about it.
TR? Is that, who's TR?
Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, I didn't know he was called TR. I figured TR was, Luke Robitaille's brother, Tom.
So what do you call Teddy Roosevelt?
I call him Uncle Ted.
Oh, Uncle Ted. All right.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Let me consult my wife on this. Jen, come here.
Keep in mind, we're asking someone who needs to watch The Real Housewives live in 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Live. Can't be DVR'd even.
Yeah, cannot be DVR'd.
You just wanted to get spoiled on Tumblr.
Jen, who is a greater living American? Barack Obama or Bill Gates? She said it immediately. Bill Gates. Why?
Obvious.
Why?
Obvious?
I agree.
Why?
Obvious answer.
Why?
He's given all of his money to charity. He's created this massive, most important company.
Do people around the world know who Bill Gates is?
Yes.
More so than they know who Barack Obama is?
Probably not.
Like, when you ask the average person walking down the street in somewhere around the world to say the person that most defines America, who do you think they would say?
That most defines America? Why does that make them?
They'd say Kim Kardashian.
Great American of all time.
Should we vote in Kim Kardashian? That was a mistake. Not included.
The answer is obviously Bill Gates.
Akiva says it was a mistake to include you.
No, I did not say that. I said it was a mistake not to include Kim Kardashian.
Oh, sorry, I misheard.
No,
he
corrected it.
No, do you think it was a mistake on our part that Kim Kardashian was not on the list of the greatest 64?
No.
But if you said who's an emblematic...
She's a pop culture icon.
Well, but what I meant to say is who's a positive emblem of America. If you ask people around the world, like, you know, name a person who represents everything good about America, I think they would say Obama. And that's even people who disagree with him politically.
No, I think people who disagree with him politically would never say anything good about him.
Well, in America, where we've reached this hyper-partisanship, yeah, you're not allowed to say anything good about the other party, for sure.
One thing I've learned over the last few weeks is that even if a political candidate is garbage on either side, people will, above all else, not vote for the other party. There's about 30 to 35% on each side that will never, at this point, vote for the other party.
Well, here's my issue. So there's a lot
Donald
of, you know,
Trump.
Like
the- Donald Trump could come out and say, you know, vote for Hillary Clinton, and those 30% of the Republicans would still vote for Donald Trump.
Well, so, you know, there's the hashtag Never Trump movement among conservatives. And a lot of people in the Never Trump movement are saying that if Trump is the candidate against Clinton, then they just won't vote. And to me, not voting makes no sense, because if you think somebody is so bad and is disqualified from being president, then by definition, the person opposite from them. But I think that's what you're saying. But, you know, but it's such a partisan. And that's on either side. Now, I was guilty of that once. I really, really, really did not like my congressperson, but I didn't like the other party's congressperson, so candidate. So I voted for the third party who had no chance. So I guess I've been guilty of that before. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, the argument you can make is any individual person's vote isn't dispositive.
Have you ever voted for a Republican?
Yeah.
Okay.
I voted for Republicans and Democrats.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't voted for many Republicans, to be honest, but I voted for, I can think of one that I voted for.
Mm-hmm. It was Michael Bloomberg.
Well, he was an independent.
By the second time he was independent.
Yeah, I wasn't a resident in New York at the time that he was a Republican. Was he only a Republican in 2012, in 2002, right? Because he lost the Democratic primary to Mark Green, and then he pulled a Joe Lieberman, and then he switched the other party in order because Giuliani endorsed him. Yeah. And so in 2002, I was living. Actually, I was living in New York.
Yeah, but you hate voting, anyways. You told me.
Yeah, voting's for suckers. I mean, why would I vote in a country where they fake the moon landing and, you know, they fake 9/11?
No, stop. That's not a funny joke. You got to take that out. You got to take out all that stuff.
You're the one who 9/11 truthed us earlier. All right. So we're kind of at an impasse here.
We're not an impasse. Your wife agrees with me. Never always say yes, dear. Never argue with your wife. If someone asks you what your favorite television show is, say yes, dear.
Wait. You say yes, dear, as in the show yes, dear?
Yes.
Or I agree with my wife and I say yes, dear.
No matter what, just say yes, dear. So if someone says what's
if your wife, here's a tip here to all the prospective couples out there.
Sure.
If you are dating someone and their significant other says that their favorite TV show is yes, dear, you break up with that
person. No, your wife likes The Housewives. That's even worse than yes, dear.
No. Yes, dear was that terrible CBS sitcom with the skinny guy and the chubby guy married to the sisters.
Yes.
It's embarrassing how much I know about that show, actually.
You've seen every episode 5 times. Oh, should we do a yes, dear podcast?
Oh, wait. No. Okay, I'll have to edit that out. I don't want anyone to steal that idea.
That's a good idea, right? Next week, like 1 week.
By the way, our Twitter follower, Jim, is going to be so pissed if we have Bill Gates against Mark Zuckerberg in the finals.
Sorry, Jim. I'm not coming down from Bill Gates. Sorry.
All right, fine. So what we're going to ultimately do here is we're going to have Bill Gates against Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm going to put in the final score as 5,000,000-0.
Congratulations to Bill Gates. How could we get in contact with him to give him his trophy? he did a Reddit. I was just looking. He did a Reddit AMA, Bill Gates, which actually knocks him down a few pegs. But
Obama also did one, though.
Yeah, no, but he just like does them a lot, it looks like. And someone, you know, they give you gold, which is just like a way to support Reddit, which is just like, I think it's like you just give gold to other people then. I don't know if you could buy things with the gold. I'm not sure. But so like, it's just funny because someone gave him gold. Like someone bought something for Bill Gates. Bill Gates, I don't know, should I add him on Reddit? Like, I don't know how to contact him, but you got to tell him.
Let him know.
You won the vote. We got 4 votes on Twitter. Guy's wife voted just so we would stop. So she could. Well, he's just news today. He's backing a revolutionary waterless toilet.
I can say something. When I was in yeshiva in Israel, they had waterless urinals.
Uh-huh.
The revolution was that the bathroom always smelled like piss.
Yes. Yeah.
So that technology has to improve.
Yeah. Okay. So we got Gates winning. What are we doing next? What's next week?
Well, next week, of course, we're going to preview the NCAA Final Four.
No, I mean maybe briefly, but our focus next week is a baseball preview,
full baseball preview.
I think we're going to bet over unders. I think will be our bet, right?
Are we going to have 30 fans in 30 days? Are we going to have any special guests?
All right,
fans of certain teams.
Bill Gates Wikipedia article.
Hold on. My wife has come back.
Come on,
she's reading Wikipedia. Bill Gates.
Yeah,
Bill Gates was the youngest self-made billionaire.
Okay.
No, Zuckerberg beat him.
He was.
At the time, I guess. Yeah, he was 32. Okay, the same age as my husband.
Same age as who?
Time magazine named him as one of the 100 people who most influenced the 20th century.
Okay.
He is one of the heroes of our time.
That says in Wikipedia?
According to Source 128, I'm going to tell you.
Breitbart News.
According to the New Statesman in the UK. I don't know. Maybe whatever that is.
Great source.
I don't know.
Bill Gates has only liked 5 tweets
knight
on Twitter.
Commander of the Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth, 2005. Okay. He was honored with the Silver Buffalo Award by the Boy Scouts of America, 2010.
All right, that's it. He won the Silver Buffalo. It's over. It's over. Wait, Akiva, we have to go look at the past Silver Buffalo winners to see who we missed in our tournament.
Bill Gates has only liked five tweets on Twitter.
Let me just tell you how much he's donated to charity. Let me find it in here. Let me find it in here.
Yeah. One of them was for Mike Bloomberg saying, "Happy birthday, Bill Gates. Made this for you using Microsoft Paint." And it's like a Photoshop picture of them with like a really funky like birthday hats and a birthday cake with candles.
Can you get the microphone out of my face?
All right. So is there
I'm going to tell you how much you donated to charity and then
Jen is a diehard Republican. She's not going to vote for Obama.
No, that's not true.
Wealthiest person in the world currently with a wealth of $77.5 billion.
I'm just sneaking in lies while you guys are talking.
$77.5 billion. Wait, let's see how much he's making political accusations. Let's see how much he's donated to charity from that.
Jen, where would you rank Donald Trump in the top 64?
I have headphones on, but I'll repeat your question. Jen, Akiva wants...
Where would you rank Donald Trump in the greatest living Americans?
That's a joke, right? That's a joke.
No, he was in our bracket out of 64.
Why was he in your bracket?
Well, it's great. Well, he just doesn't mean the bet necessarily.
Why was he in your bracket? What kind of bracket is that?
So you don't think he's one of the 64 greatest Americans?
No, not even close. No, top no, 100? Absolutely not. That's
Is he one of the greatest 64 million Americans? Is he one of the worst 64 Americans? By the way, Akiva, that should be our next podcast. The worst 64
maybe
Americans.
Next year for more.
What worst living American?
Jen, who's better, Bill or Hillary?
How much?
As of right now,
Has Bill Gates
who's a greater who's a greater living American? Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary.
Even if she loses the presidential race and she's never president.
As of May 2013, Bill Gates had donated $28 billion.
Do you know how much of that I got?
Which,
nothing.
Of course, is a philanthropy.
I got none of that.
Jen, if
we're taking one of those,
$28 billion,
$1 million.
How does that not be? How does that not make the greatest American? $28 billion.
Yeah, well, he has the most money. Whoever has the most money is going to give.
But
the
he, but he,
whoever
yeah,
the richest person automatically wins, unless they're Donald Trump, and maybe don't give charity. I don't know.
Yeah, Jen, if Hillary were to lose the general election to Donald Trump,
he topped the list as the most philanthropic American, according to.
Well, I have a serious question for Jen. If Donald Trump wins the election, will you move out of the country?
No.
No, because you voted for him, or just no?
How much money have you donated to the Trump campaign?
They pledged to donate 95% of their wealth.
Oh, that's 95%. Nothing. They're keeping billions.
Really impressive.
They're keeping 5%, so they're only going to keep like 10%.
Zuckerberg's keeping 99%.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Zuckerberg's going to donate 99%. Is he a greater living American?
Maybe we should redo it.
He's a pretty good American then. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good. But so far, Bill Gates has led the way. Bill Gates has led the way. Yeah. So.
All right. So Bill Gates is the greatest living American. My wife has some strong opinions about this. We should have had her in the earlier round.
Yeah, I didn't realize she had so many hot takes.
Who's a greater living American, Anna Wintour or Kanye West?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ugh.
She said, ugh.
There's no doubt that Anna Wintour is a very, you know, influential person in the fashion industry. I don't think that would, to me, qualify anywhere near the top of the list of the greatest Americans. Well,
I have a way to disqualify all of my wife's opinions. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, she watches the Beverly Housewives.
All right, hold on. Who's a greater living American, Michael Jordan or Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
So I'll do it. Nice. So now we have to cancel her vote for Bill Gates, right?
Michael Jordan or John Beeline?
Tom Brady is the most gorgeous American.
Oh, Tom Brady's the most gorgeous American, and he went to Michigan, so that's awesome.
Ask her John Beeline or Michael Jordan.
She doesn't care about college basketball.
Oh, what about Jim Harbaugh? Has she had Jim Harbaugh?
Jen, who's a greater American, Jim Harbaugh or Michael Jordan?
I have to admit that Michael Jordan.
She says, I have to admit it's Michael Jordan. Okay. All right. I think we've had enough of Jen for one day.
Yeah. No, I know.
At least the podcast listeners. I'll be with her all night and all week and all life. All right. So Bill Gates is the greatest living American. He beat Mark Zuckerberg in a rout. Barack Obama wins the third place over Muhammad Ali easily, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, if they were boxing today, Barack Obama would beat Muhammad Ali.
Oh,
easily.
Too soon. Or not soon enough. I'm not sure.
Not soon enough. Did you see Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, he beat
this
a fan.
Week?
He beat up a fan. Well, I actually think it was such a wreck.
How is that legal?
I don't think That's they insane. Let him fight a fan. It ended up being a professional guy because, like, the boxing commission
no, the,
didn't
the
let
guy
it be a fan.
Was the guy was an MMA fighter, but he wasn't a boxer.
Right, but it wasn't an actual fan. It was like someone they had to pick. They wouldn't let someone with no record fight in the end. It's 2 minutes on Deadspin you'll never get back. And go soon, because I'm not sure if Deadspin will exist next week.
Yeah, they're gonna have to put up a quite a pretty penny until I mean, by the way, this is yet another reason why we need to clip off Florida and let it float off into the ocean.
Yeah, it's true. The scariest words in the English language are six-man jury in Florida.
Yeah. I think you said that last week, but I'll allow it because it was a good joke last week as well. All right, so there you have it. Next week, we will be previewing the 2016 Major League Baseball season. We'll get to hear Excited Akiva talk about the greatest group of young pitchers since at least the early aughts A's.
You're just talking about the Mets. And,
yeah. Of course,
I thought you meant like league-wide. I'm like, who cares about the rest of the league?
No, I'm talking about the Mets, yeah. And you'll get to hear me complain about how the Twins were a regressive, idiotic front office who are wasting away the potential of all their young stars.
Well, they paid Joe Mauer $180 million to not be viable as a Major League Baseball player.
I mean, he had multiple concussions, so unfortunately, that's what happens.
Yeah, he could retire like a man and save them $130 million.
Between Corey Koski and then Justin Morneau and then Joe Mauer, the Twins have probably been more destroyed by concussions than any other team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't approach like NFL teams, but...
Well, what about... But when you say like concussions have ruined teams, like what about Ruben Amaro's concussions when he was making moves for the Philadelphia Phillies, I assume? Yeah, all right. This was a blast. Congratulations to Bill Gates. Yeah, we'll send him a trophy. If he gets back to us, I will happily... send him a trophy. He better send a check in the mail for that, like a couple of mil. What if the Gates Foundation becomes our first sponsor? They want to promote their charity. Well, listen, we don't have the most listeners, but we have the highest net worth listeners. That's what I think. Our listeners are rich, including Bill Gates. If he listens once, if you average out his, billions with the other 12, no matter how much money they have. All right, whatever.